encourage the rest of you, take out your message notes. Make sure they're the ones that are titled, What GHCC Should Be Like in a World of Racism and Corruption. If you need a set of message notes, the ushers will be coming down the aisle. All you need to do is get their attention. If you need the loan of a Bible for this morning, they can also provide you a Bible during our study of the Word of God today. As I open this morning, I thought I would share with you something that one of you shared with me. This will help to introduce where we left off last time. You know that I like to use illustrations, either living or pictorial and so forth, to make the point that the Holy Spirit would have us understand so that we can go forward and live out the scriptures that we have been studying together. And this story begins by saying the pastor decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. Four worms were placed in four separate jars. Are you listening, Jackie? The first worm was put into a container of alcohol. The second worm was put in a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm was put in a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the message, the pastor reported the following results. The first worm in the alcohol, dead. The second worm in the cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in the chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in the good soil, alive. So the pastor asked Jackie, actually he asked the congregation, so my friends, what did you learn from this demonstration? Jackie, sitting in the back, as she usually is, quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. What in the world has that got to do with this morning's message? Family, the fourth worm went into the good soil and lived. We have been looking into the good soil, the word of our Heavenly Father. And if we will live in the word, we shall live, and we shall live well. And we will be used of God in the most wonderful and precious, life-changing ways, if that is what we do. We need to find ourselves in the good soil. Many of you will remember the man Vince Lombardi. Vince held a number of high positions with the National Football League before he passed. But there was a time when he was a coach of the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers were the worst team in the league, but he would lead them to three consecutive and a total of five National Football League championships. And this is something that he said before he passed. Perfection is not attainable. But if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Perfection is not attainable, but to chase perfection, we can catch excellence. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit was revealing to you and to me last Sunday morning as we were peering into this passage in chapter 4 of Philippians. In your notes on the bottom of page 2, you read, remember what Paul told us, the Holy Spirit told him to reveal to us in Philippians 4 and Romans 12. I went in great detail. I unpacked the words here in the fullness of all their meanings. But our Heavenly Father, He gave a command to the Philippian church family. He was calling them out. He was calling them to Himself and saying, listen, you have come to know me. I love you so much. That has been demonstrated by my giving you my son. And my son has demonstrated his love for you by going to the cross and there suffering the wrath you deserve for your sins. He took it upon himself. I let him do that. I stood by and watched him as he suffered for all of you. So I want you to know, I love you. You see that, don't you? And you understand how merciful I am and how tender I am towards you. So as I give you this present imperative, this command, this continuous action that I require of you as my children, you are to listen carefully. And he told us there, he said, fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right, pure, lovely, admirable. And we looked at these words and the depth of what they actually mean in the Greek text, and as the original hearers, the Philippians, would have understood them. It was a command that we do these things. And as we look across the length and breadth of America, this is lacking in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many, the majority of the people across the United States, if you were to ask them, what is it you remember from chapter 4 of Philippians? Many of them are going to say, there's a Philippians in the Bible. And others are going to say, oh, there's 4 chapters? I never got that far. And others are never going to be able to share even 1 or 2 of these 6 things that our Lord has said He wants His children to be doing. He's not asking us to do it if we feel like it. This is a loving God saying, this is the way my kids will conduct themselves. And then he went on, as you saw, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Those 6 things are excellent and worthy of praise. We cannot achieve perfection, even as Vince Lombardi figured out, but we can pursue excellence. We can pursue excellence. So he says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then he goes on and he says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. And then he puts a capstone here and says, everything you heard from me and saw in me. He wrote the majority of the New Testament under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know how we are supposed to live our lives, all we have to do is open the New Testament and begin reading any of the New Testament, but look at what Paul was saying. He would tell us in other places, follow me as I follow Christ. And here he is the writer of Holy Writ, and he is explaining to us, these are things God has said, and you are not to just, oh, maybe. No, this is the way my kids are to look like. This is the way they conduct themselves. But just like Vince Lombardi taking the Green Bay Packers from a no-nothing, lousy, good-for-nothing team to being a team that won all of those championships, that happened because the guys showed up for practice. They showed up for practice and they listened to what their coach had to say. And then they were writing all these things down in their playbooks. And they're taking that home, and that's homework. And they're reading their playbooks. They're studying their playbooks. And they're going back out on the field, and they're executing what they're learning from their playbooks, and they're continuing to listen to their coach. And that is exactly what the church is supposed to be doing. Paul would go on in verse 9 there in Philippians 4 and say, keep putting into, there's that word, practice. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Now, you ask yourself, are you putting into practice what you learned last Sunday from the breath of God yourself? Now, I'm not asking you for you to, give an answer. I'm just asking you about thinking about it. Because what transpired really? What transpired last Sunday? Did Ron just use his big mouth to talk about the Lord? Or did the Holy Spirit take big mouth Ron, and who was sharing the Word of God, and make a difference in your lives and in the lives of others who you touched? Because you were practicing being pure and lovely and admirable and looking at those things that are true and honorable and right. Did we practice, family? Because if we didn't, then I wasted my time, didn't I? I wasted my time in the life of whoever did not practice. We're one of the nicest, finest, loving as churches in the San Fernando Valley. And we've gotten there because so many of you have practiced. But we're really going to become that excellent church. So proud, or making our Lord so proud of us as we show up for practice. When I was in high school, I couldn't play football unless I showed up for practice. I couldn't run cross country unless I showed up for practice. I couldn't be on the swimming team. I couldn't have been first man in the 50 free. I couldn't have been first man in the 100 free. I couldn't have been the fourth man in the 200 relay, four-man relay. If I hadn't practiced, practice. Now, how did Ron do in Spanish? He flunked. Why? No practice. How did Ron do in Algebra 2? Almost flunked, because he didn't practice. You understand, family? Is this making sense? Practice. If I wanted to be a Reseda Regent football player before my mom got me thrown off the team, that's a long story, and it doesn't fit as an illustration here. But if I wanted to be a Reseda Regent in any of these teams, I had to practice. Otherwise, I didn't get the mantle. I didn't get the letter. I didn't get the medals unless I practiced. And we have to practice, family. And we've got the best coach in the world. He's called God, the Holy Spirit. We have the most loving coach, not like Coach Roy J, who used to kick my backside. I used to want to get tackled near a submerged sprinkler so I could suck water out of the thing.
Saito, what are you doing? Pop in your helmet. I don't know, Coach.
Practice. Looking at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Why don't you turn in your Bibles here? Romans chapter 12, because I didn't write down verse 1 for you. Verse 1, Paul, he's writing with urgency. He has an appeal. He says, I appeal to you, therefore. He's writing to the Roman church family, okay? The Spirit of God is speaking to you and to me this morning, the Granada Hills church family. And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, let me just ask the question, family. This is not the first time we've been in Romans. It is not the second or third time, hopefully, that you have read through Romans. What did you do about the fact when he says, I urge you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God? Have you done that? Are you a walking, talking, living sacrifice? Alive, set apart to God, for God, to be used by him for his purposes. Let's go back to Arvin, who's soon to graduate. For all intents and purposes, he is a Marine, a United States Marine. And when you see him when he comes home on a leave, he is going to be in a crisp new uniform. He is going to be standing tall. His back is going to be straight as a board. He is going to look sharp. He is going to be more handsome than when we sent him off. He's going to be wearing those eagles and globes on his lapels and on the center of his cover, his hat. And he's going to be doing that proudly because he is pleased to be a United States Marine. And he offered himself, he offered his services to the United States of America as a recruit to become a Marine. And he has become a Marine. He has given himself as a living sacrifice. Prayers this morning were for Andrew, who is a Marine and a Marine sergeant now. But he's on his way back from somewhere on shipboard. And the Navy is facing a typhoon. Someone said Category 3. Something Steve would know, having been a merchant marine and out there in many of those storms. These young men have offered themselves, their lives, to the protection of you and me. We talk about our nation. Our nation is each of you, every single one of you. That's who they are protecting. That's why they continue to practice, so that when it comes time to go to war, they will be ready as they can be for war. They continue to practice. The Marines are really tough guys. And they take people like you and they mold them into being what they need to go on the battlefield for your safety. So here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. In verse 1, we are being asked to rededicate ourselves in fullness to our Heavenly Father as sacrifices, to give ourselves as sacrifices, no more, no less than Arvin has done for the United States of America, no more, no less than Andrew has done for the United States of America, no less than Alexis has done in the Navy for the United States of America. They have offered themselves up, body, soul, spirit, their complete selves to the military. For us. And somehow the church has missed the fact that this is exactly what our Heavenly Father has been trying to get across to his bride for the last 2,000 years. I'm not asking you to join a club. He said, I'm not asking you to come to where there's some warm and nice people. He said, I'm asking you to offer yourself up as a living sacrifice for me. My son did it for you. I expect nothing less. But that is not what men like me across America are teaching. That is not what men like me across America are preaching. That doesn't make great big churches numerically. Because God, as wonderful as he is, he's asking something of us. And he has given us all the power to be able to accomplish each of the things he lays out there because he's given us his Spirit. And when we give ourselves in fullness to him, we become the new creations. The old things pass away. New things come. We have been created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand, that we should live in them, that we should go forward and do them. But not because it's a have to. It's because his kids, they want to. They just want to. So I'm not asking anyone here this morning to do anything you don't want to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to look inside and say, where's my want to's? Do I want to spend time with him? Do I want to enjoy him? Do I want to serve him? Am I willing to die, if necessary, for him? Well, my time is gone for this morning. So why don't we turn to him and see if there's some things we might want to say. If he's revealed anything, turn something over. Made something a little more clear this morning that we would do well to take action on with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to enter into and maintain a lifelong commitment to keep Jesus front and center in our daily lives. Help us to recommit ourselves to Jesus by renewing our minds each day, mentally. Help us to continue to rededicate ourselves on a daily basis that we can see the transformation to becoming more like the image of your Son. You've told us in Romans 8:29, for those whom you foreknew, you predestined to be conformed to the image of your Son. So help us to keep practicing. Help some of us to show up at the practice field now, since we understand more clearly what it was that you were asking. And maybe Ron never really fully helped me to understand, or a previous pastor never took the time to speak to me about. Please help us, Father, to practice those things that we have learned, those things that we have seen, those things that we have heard through your wonderful Apostle Paul, who has so lovingly made clear to us this morning, so that we can enter into that peace that we all long to have with you, and that you provide even in the most difficult of situations. Please, Father, turn us from being conformed to this world to being transformed by the renewal of our minds, that we may discern what your will is for our lives individually. For we ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.